To the brightest audience in the nation, this is Doug McBurney sitting in for Bob Enyart, as he is unfortunately incarcerated for his part in a pro-life protest, along with Ken Scott. We are expecting a call from Bob from the bowels of the El Paso County Jail any moment, and he will do the show while he's in jail. Now, Bob and Ken were fined $450 and $550 respectively. They refused to pay, and so the governing officials have them working that fine off at $50 a day. Which, to me, is an insult. It's outrageously low. So if you think Bob and Ken's work is worth $50 a day or more, join me in proving that to the governing officials by paying Ken and Bob yourself at least $50 a day for one day. You could pay them for 2 days or for the whole sentence. I know there's some folks out there who could do that. 9 days for Bob, 11 days for Ken, $50 a day or more. You do the math. Make your checks payable to Ken Scott and or Bob Enyart personally. Check for $50, $100, $1,000. Let's prove to the governing officials what their time is really worth. Mail your checks to Bob Enyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado, 80001. Is that you from jail, Bob?
Well, greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church and a member of American Right to Life. And as you may know, I'm coming to you from within the El Paso County Jail. I'm an inmate here, having been sentenced yesterday for a protest by American Right to Life at Focus on the Family. There were three of us who reached this stage, and the judge had given Brian Enyart, my brother, a fine of $150, and he had been promised that by the city attorney that he would not face jail time. Then Ken Scott, husband of Joe Scott, Ken and Joe Scott. Ken Scott received a $550 fine, and I received a $450 fine. And Ken Scott told the judge, very respectfully, that he told the judge that in God's court, there will be no motions for reconsideration, no appeals, but if we reject God, if we murder the innocent, as our courts in America, they authorize the killing of unborn children, they're not only tolerant but supportive of it, that God will see justice done, and the result will be eternity either apart from God in hell or eternity with God in heaven through Jesus Christ. And there was a Colorado Springs Gazette reporter sitting in the front row, and I thought Ken Scott did a wonderful job sharing the gospel with this judge, Spencer Gresham. Well, Focus on the Family had a spokeswoman there. I believe her name may have been Lisa Anderson. And he asked her what Focus's position was on the sentencing. And she asked for restitution, that we would have to pay Focus on the Family $400 for our protest there and the time that their security and personnel spent with us. Well, the judge ruled that we would not have to do that, pay that restitution to Focus, but he came to me and asked me my thoughts for sentencing. And I explained that Dr. James Dobson had violated his oath that he made invoking God's name, that he would never vote for a politician who had any exceptions on abortion, who would kill a single child. And even though Dr. Dobson and Focus, they admit that he no longer abides by that pledge, that he's broken that oath, they still broadcast that on the radio show. They play it in their welcome center, and it's basically fraudulent fundraising. They're presenting an image of a leader, Dr. Dobson, who has an absolute commitment to God and his principles and to the innocent, and that image is not true. It's fraudulent. So that was my statement to Judge Spencer Gresham. And then he rendered his sentence, and he said, I heard the whole testimony. I heard from the police that there were no threats, that the protesters were respectful, that they were nonviolent, and the defendants had made repeated efforts to resolve the matter with focus on the family. And when they went and asked to speak to someone at the front desk, Focus said that they would go get someone, and they went and got the security. They got a security guard. And so the judge did what he thought was lenient. He gave us fines. Well, Ken Scott said to the court, to the judge, as a form of protest, "Your Honor, I will not pay a fine to a U.S. court system that promotes the killing of unborn children." And I agreed with Ken to the judge and said, "Respectfully, Your Honor, I will not pay my fine either for these reasons." Well, the judge asked us to please step forward, because if we told him we would not pay the fines, then his recourse was to throw us in jail. And he asked us to step forward, and he asked an officer, "Please take these men into custody." And he said, "You can have no more contact with your family members." So my brother, Brian, who was a co-defendant, he wanted to join us in solidarity, but we urged him not to. He had already agreed to pay his fine. And then Ken's wife, Jo Scott, she said goodbye to her husband. And this, of course, would only be maybe about 10 days in jail for each of us. But it's still, somewhat of an experience for law-abiding people. My wife, Cheryl, and our youngest boys, they motioned goodbye to me. And we had discussed with our youngest boys, we have seven boys together, and our youngest are ages 8, 10, and 12. And we had talked to them about the possibility that their dad may go to jail. And, there have been about 50,000 Christians, rescuers, who have been arrested at abortion clinics, peacefully trying to save the lives of unborn children. And in fact, so many Christians have been arrested doing that, we've dwarfed the civil rights movement, which had about 10,000 arrests. And in the rescue movement, if possible, the Christians do not pay the fines, if possible, because then you end up really in a jail ministry. Just the last 24 hours here in jail have been absolutely stunning. So our youngest boys were there and ready, but I saw the shock on their faces when the officer began to put handcuffs on me and on Ken Scott. My Zachary's eyes were as wide as could be, and the other boys. Well, we were taken into custody and put in separate cells. Ken was singing one of his favorite songs, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus," and I began whistling the chorus. I was in another cell down the hall, but in jail everything echoes. And while I would whistle one line, Ken would whistle the alternating lines in the song, and so we fellowshipped. We began fellowshipping, and so started the evangelizing of guards and other inmates that we've so enjoyed this past 24 hours. Most inmates claim to be Christian, whites, blacks, and Hispanics. They are very interested to hear that Ken and I are in jail for ministry. First, to tell them about Jesus Christ, and secondly, as a witness to the world and the church against the lies of child killers. I'll give an example. George W. Bush, in 8 years, he killed 111,801 children in the womb by his own policies. And yet Dr. Dobson spent this week on the radio praising George W. Bush for being our most pro-life president. Now, that's regardless of Bush promising that he would nominate pro-choice judges. And George W. Bush filled the courts in Texas and federally with judges who reject the right to life of the unborn. And he even openly admits that he did not try to appoint judges who would overturn Roe v. Wade. And Bush opposed South Dakota's 2006 abortion ban, and he didn't even support their 2008 referendum that included Bush's own wicked exceptions, his own claim that some boys and girls do not deserve to be protected by love and by law. So we're being sentenced and now thrown in jail for desperately pleading with Dr. Dobson to stop mocking God by playing that broken pledge in which he invoked God's name, and he broke it openly by supporting candidates who kill thousands, not one, but thousands of children. And focus on the family, they think that they can absolve themselves from that ongoing mockery by claiming the aggressive child killing of the Bush family, George H.W. Bush, Barbara Bush, Laura Bush, George W. Bush, and their daughters, all pro-choice. And George W. Bush gave hundreds of millions of dollars more to the Planned Parenthood abortionists than did even Bill Clinton. So it's like somebody saying, I'm against the Holocaust, but increasing the budget for Auschwitz and Dachau. All we are asking from our Christian leaders is the truth. Loyalty to God and to the innocent. That's what American Right to Life was asking during the protest that focused on the family in the fall. Instead, we're getting lies and the statements of lawyers and political hacks, propaganda, and switched loyalties transferred from God to the Republican Party. But they say things like, they'll say, well, we had to break our oath to God. Don't you know the boogeyman is out there? And they're talking about Barack Obama. They think Obama justifies every lie, every distortion. But when we call evil good, as with George Bush killing 111,000 babies, and we insult Ronald Reagan, for example, because that's what's going on. Ronald Reagan publicly repented for his pro-abortion action early in his career, and he went on as president to oppose all abortion without exception. And they insult Reagan, and they call evil good by saying that George W. Bush was the most pro-life president we've ever had. American Right to Life members are in jail right now to call Focus on the Family to repent, to call Dr. James Dobson to repent, to take down that pledge. And we are in jail to warn Christians to not follow wolves in sheep's clothing. And we are crying out to America to stop the killing of innocent children. We are crying out to America to stop the killing of innocent children.
I know you have 60 seconds left on this call.
Liberals claim separation of church and state, but Ken Scott and I are now in full-time jail ministry with an all-expense-paid, government-funded scholarship. Once we arrived at the El Paso County Jail, we were kept with about 20 other inmates for the intake processing, fingerprinting, searches, medical review, but mostly just waiting and talking for 8 hours. We had wonderful discussions, sometimes with as many as a dozen inmates listening to the evidence for God's word, for Christianity, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, many here are in...
You have 10 seconds left on this call.
Hey, Will, let me try to call you back.
Global Tellink. I have a collect call from an inmate at El Paso County Criminal Justice Center. To accept, dial zero.
Of course, many inmates are in crisis, and they pour their hearts out to a Christian who will listen and pray with them. The prophets and the apostles spent time in jail, as did men like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Alan Keyes, Martin Luther King, you know, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, so many Christians, and it's an honorable heritage, and Ken Scott and I don't even feel worthy to be here ministering to these inmates in jail but it is an honor to be here. And with so many who so desperately need Jesus Christ, my heart breaks when I think of the percent of black men who go to jail. And to hear them speak is horrific. They only have one word for a woman, a wife or a girlfriend or even a female acquaintance, and that's the B word. You know, black men as a group, and for many years now, in fact, this is the second generation that I've seen it, they call women the B word. Well, I guess unless you count ho as a word, then they have two, hoes and bees. And this is a crisis in the black community. In Hollywood, the music industry, their schools, which are all godless, and even the black churches that are pro-abortion and pro-welfare, they're all jointly responsible. And I rebuke the black pastors who do not rage against Planned Parenthood killing 10 million black babies. You know, I think of the Fox News Channel and Bill O'Reilly, and those dead black kids, I call them the O'Reilly dead, because fewer blacks can afford Warren Hearn's late-term abortion fee of, what does he charge, almost $10,000? So they do the Bill O'Reilly thing, and they factor in age, and they've killed those 10 million black babies younger, you know, in the first or second trimester, so that these kids had even less time to enjoy life, killed in the factor time frame of the first 4 months or so. Well, one black man in his mid-20s insists that the 14-year-old girl he gave alcohol to and had sex with told him that she was 18. And he high-fived another who beat that rap, he said, with this other girl's MySpace page on which she claimed to be 18. The stories are horror stories. Another black man launched into an impromptu Bible study, actually, in response to talking with Ken Scott and me. And he was combining two parables into one, the parable of the talents with the one of the 10 virgins and their oil lamps. And during this 10-minute Bible study, in which he was actually trying to get other inmates to take the Bible seriously, he kept using the F word, cussing, cursing. And I'd say he used the F word about 40 times. But not only the F word, but every vulgar variation of it that you could squeeze into a short sermon, and hoes and bees and worse, actually. I estimated that I heard the F word in its variants during the intake processing about 1,400 times from the guys, but also from the half dozen women inmates who spent the same hours in the processing area. One of the filthiest mouths belonged to a 23-year-old Army infantryman who had served 15 months in Iraq. And he's back now waiting to return to Iraq. And he was arrested for street racing and fleeing from the police at over 100 miles an hour. And this young man, he wears his contempt for God on his sleeve. We're talking to him, praying for him. But he was sexually vulgar and utterly foul-mouthed. And if he were taken seriously, he was bragging about committing war crimes, and his claims, they seemed absurd, but one assumes that the Army should carefully evaluate him before sending this one-man Abu Ghraib back into action. While Ken Scott was talking to two middle-aged white guys who were arrested for domestic violence, very common crime, I spoke with two young Mexicans, both agreeing that abortion was wrong, and both volunteering that when they found out that their women were pregnant, they brought them to the Planned Parenthood abortion clinic in Colorado Springs. You know, the clinic that kills kids right down the street from Focus on the Family, right down the street from major Christian ministries in that clinic, it's the one that gets left alone. They get ignored so that they can kill these Mexican babies in peace with no protests from Focus on the Family or New Life or any of the 100 Christian ministries headquartered in Colorado Springs, like the Navigators and others. But these ministries, they do find time to host visiting Chinese government dignitaries every couple years, allowing themselves to be used for propaganda of religious freedom in China, and somehow without remembering to confront them for their forced abortion there. So in the 20 times that American Right to Life and Colorado Right to Life sent protesters down to the Colorado Springs Planned Parenthood, they've been down there all alone or with a tiny handful of grassroots activists manning the last line of defense those babies will have any hope from, with the Christian mega ministries, which are right up the street from like Auschwitz, patting themselves on the back for getting elected a pro-life president who, by his own policies, George W. Bush, killed more children than half of Germany's concentration camps. So I talked to these two Mexicans, and the one who 10 months ago brought his wife to kill their son said that when they got there, she punched him in the face and said she would not kill their child. What a great woman. I told him that he deserved it and that he had a wonderful wife, and he agreed. He grew up in a church with a Christian family, and I urged him to live for the Lord, which he agreed he wants to do. The second man, 4 years ago, brought his girlfriend to the same Colorado Springs Planned Parenthood abortion clinic, which is left alone by the multi-million-dollar self-congratulatory ministries of the city. And when they got there, she refused to kill her child. And he is so thankful that they now have two beautiful girls. Of course, men are way more pro-abortion, pro-choice, than women are, because men realize they can take advantage of women sexually and bring them to an abortion clinic, have the problem solved, and prepare the woman to be used again sexually by that man or even another man. Well, she refused to kill their two children, and he says that he has lived with guilt for 4 years for wanting to kill their oldest and how mean he was to her mother for doing that. And I asked him a question, and when he answered, and I then lied to him. I told him and the guys at our table that I only knew one word in Spanish. I asked him if he had married her, this woman, and he said no. She was wanting to be married, but he had not agreed. And I told him that I only knew one word in Espanol, loco. I said, man, you are crazy. And he agreed, and I told him he should be honored and humbled that this woman loved him and has given him his two girls, and he agreed. And I told him that if he searched the world over, he would not find a more beautiful wife nor a better wife, and he agreed. And he said, what a fool I've been. So I'd like to ask you to pray for these two men and the two men that Ken Scott was just about an hour ago talking to, and we have a great opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with so many who are at a crossroads here in this jail. What is it like in jail? In jail, it's like being on a retreat, maybe a Baptist retreat. So many of the guys are willing to talk about God, to open a Bible, to read. What's the cell like? The cell that I'm in, it's about 6 feet wide and just long enough for a bunk bed and a toilet, which is right out in the open. And the top of the toilet is a sink. That's where you brush your teeth and drink from, right, like on the toilet tank, for example. What's the grossest thing about being in jail so far? You get one blanket, and I've estimated the blanket I have has about 300 to 400 human hairs stuck in it, interwoven in the cloth. So I try to pull those out. I do have a window in my cell. It's about a foot and a half. It's about a square foot and a half, but it's wide, so you couldn't squeeze out of it, of course. And not everybody has a view of a mountain stream from their bedroom window, but I do. I thank the Lord for that blessing. Out of my window, there's a grass-covered field that slopes down to the stream that runs right out of the Rocky Mountains. And I could see a hill in the distance and about 80 trees. And in the foreground, there's a big old 60-year-old tree, I'd say. And the trunk splits into three trunks separate about 20 feet up, and it would make just a tremendous treehouse for a kid. About half the wood in that tree is dead and half of it's alive. But it's an extraordinary experience to be in jail. In the Bible, the jail ministries, many of they were in jail, as with so many Christian leaders who have been willing to stand for the truth, for righteousness, for the gospel, for the innocent, rather than standing just for fundraisers and Republican Party politics and lying and not telling the truth. Well, we want the truth to be told. That's what we're asking for, not to be lied to. And, you know, lies help the enemy. Lies help the devil. But Jesus Christ said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. So that's our primary message to the guys here, Jesus Christ and the gospel of his death and resurrection. But then the secondary message is don't be lied to. Our governing leaders, they support the killing of innocent children. Our Christian ministries, they support politicians who advocate killing innocent children by the tens of thousands. We are lied to in the name of money, fundraising, and influence and power, and we need to resist all that and to say we will not abide by being lied to. And so we beg Dr. Dobson, take down that pledge. Stop mocking God by broadcasting on your radio show and by playing at Focus on the Family Welcome Center the pledge that you and Tom Minnery and your organization has admitted in public, in writing. You've admitted you no longer abide by that pledge in which you invoke God's name, and you still play it because it makes you look like the kind of Christian leader.
You have 60 seconds left on this call.
It makes you look like the kind of Christian leader that believers want to follow and want to support, but that is not who you are. Please repent. You can become that leader, but you are not that leader. Please stop mocking God. Take down that pledge. Thank you guys for listening. I have to talk hushed, obviously. There's a room full of inmates here. But kgov.com is our website, kgov.com. I am Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church and a spokesman with American Right to Life. Please go to American Right to Life's website for more on this. In Maranatha, what a great school in Arvada, Colorado. God bless you all.